Testament and the New Testament, so that also you open our hearts so that we can receive your word and put what we learn into practice, apply our heart to understanding and to wisdom, so that we can walk in it and we'll be blessed all the days of our life, not only this life and the life to come. And fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can understand what you have to say to us. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So chapter 14 and chapter 15 in the book of Romans, I put the title is Everything to the Lord. All to the Lord. And today's I talk about the signs of maturity in Christ Jesus. And that's what Paul said about that, offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, starting in chapter 12. The first pair of the signs of maturity in Jesus Christ, and they go hand in hand, and they are the attribute of Jesus Christ. The first pair is the strong one must bear with the failings of the weak. Because Jesus Christ himself bear the insult of the wicked who insulted God. Take a look at in verse 1, Romans chapter 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failing of the weak. That's the first pair. And then the second pair is not to please ourselves. Not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good and to build him up. I think every word in here is very precise and very important. The first pair of signs of maturity in Jesus Christ is the strong one must bear with the failing of the weak. That's exactly what Jesus Christ has done. Second pair is not to please ourselves, but to please our neighbor for his good and to build him up. If we do that, and I believe we will get blessing not only now, we will get blessing in the future to come. When you attain these two attributes of Jesus Christ, you are following Jesus Christ. And Paul in here tell us how can we get it. He mentioned two ways to get these two attributes. As it is recorded in verse 4 to verse 6. In verse 4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. And verse 5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourself as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how can we get these two attributes? The strong one must bear with the failing of the weak. The second one is not to please ourselves, but to please our neighbor for his good and to build him up. Some people please other people. It's not for his own good. Is for your own good. Paul saying that you please other for his own good, not for your own good. There's a difference between you pleasing other for your own good. Well, you want to have a deeper understanding, you take a look at first chapter of Galatians. Galatians Paul saying that if I still try to please people and I'm not the Lord's servant, that kind of pleasing is for his own good, not for the good of those who receive it. So I want you to go to Galatians chapter 1, I think verse 10. You cannot see that? Paul saying that, am I trying to win the approval of man? Or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Could you do me a favor, write that down? There's a difference between Galatians chapter 1 verse 10 to Romans chapter 15 verse 1 to 3. You know, if you just read the scripture, you know, in one portion of the scripture, say, oh, if I'm trying to please man, I'm not a servant of Christ. That means God did not want you to please man. But, you know, the problem in the scripture is this. If you just read it without meditate on it with your head, with your heart, you won't receive it. You won't understand. But in here, Paul spells it out very clearly. What does it mean? By not to please ourselves, but to please our neighbor. For the good of the neighbor, not for your own good. To build him up. To build him up for his edification. But in Galatians chapter 1 verse 10, the preacher, the servant of Christ, if he tried to please man, that means he tell what man like to hear, not telling what God want him to preach. This one is not the servant of Christ. Do you understand? Do you see the difference? One is for his own good. One is for the good of the others. One is to what? For his own selfish benefit. One is for the benefit of education, building up of the other people. Do me a favor, right beside Galatians 1:10, you write down Romans 15:1-3. Romans 15:1-3, you write down Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. Next time when you read the Bible, read these two Bible verses so that you understand what you're doing. And I'm afraid you just listen to it and you don't put it into practice. You don't meditate on it. You did the wrong thing and you think you're serving God. Okay? This is a trap in here. How can we get it? Paul say that there's two ways to get it. One is through the scripture. Another one is through prayer to God. Through the scripture is 15 verse 4. Romans chapter 15 verse 4. Through the scripture will give us endurance. Through the scripture will give us encouragement. Through the scripture, if we put into practice, the scripture will give us hope. Will give us hope. Three things. The scripture will give it to us. Endurance, encouragement, and hope. Let's read. That is my interpretation. Let's read what the Bible says. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. So in other words, if we read the scripture, if we understand the scripture, if we meditate on it day and night, one of these days, the scripture will give you endurance. You say, oh, I can't stand it anymore. Just like when I pray with Ian called me every night to pray when he was unemployed. And last week, I think on Monday, you know, he cried to God, say, Lord, it's 9 months now, and I haven't got a job for 9 months. And when I hear that, and I remember what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. By the time when we cannot stand anymore, the Lord will open the door for you so that you can stand. And lo and behold, and last week, he got a job. And this week, he got a job on Thursday. So every word that we utter in our prayer, the Lord heard that. Brother and sister, make sure you write that down. If you don't read the scripture, if you don't meditate on it, if you don't ask God for wisdom to understand what is written in the scripture, you won't get endurance. Brother and sister, write that down right beside endurance. You write down chapter 5 of Book of Romans. If you don't have endurance, the Lord will inflict pain into your life to cause you to have endurance. Do me a favor, turn back to Romans chapter 5. I read that to you, chapter 5, 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Right beside perseverance, you write down endurance. It's the same thing. I read that one more time in verse 3. Not only so, we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. The reason why the Lord allowed his servant to go through pain and suffering, because through that pain and suffering, we have endurance. When we suffer pain, we endure it, and endurance produces character. Our life will be changed. When your life really changes, then character produces hope. In verse 2, what kind of hope is the hope of the glory of God? And in verse 5, that hope does not disappoint us. When you receive the glory of God, this kind of hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out his love into our heart by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. There are two ways to receive the attribute of God. First, through the study and the meditation and understanding of the scripture. The scripture will give us endurance, will give us encouragement. When our character has been changed in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will have peace and joy, and we get encouragement from the scripture. Finally, the scripture will give us hope. Whatever the scripture tells you that he will give it to you, you definitely will receive it. That's the glory of God. Another way to receive this attribute is through prayer to God. In verse 5 to verse 6. Through prayer to God, you should ask for endurance, number one. Secondly, ask for encouragement. Thirdly, ask for a spirit of unity. Ask for a spirit of unity. Now take a look at verse 15. Chapter 15, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourself as you follow Christ Jesus. Nowadays, if you ask people, Do you follow Christ Jesus? They say, yeah, we follow Christ Jesus. But they do not have the heart. They do not have the spirit of unity. Brother and sister, make sure you circle the word, a spirit of unity. A spirit of unity. And I believe the Holy Spirit who moved Jesus Christ to pray in Gospel of John chapter 17, talk about the unity, is the same Spirit who moved the Apostle Paul to talk about asking God for a spirit of unity. I don't want to spend so much time on the Gospel of John chapter 17. And I want you to read that. Jesus Christ prayed for that. Now talk about that. Chapter 15, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourself as you follow Christ Jesus. If you read the news, the House of the United States did not pass the repeal of the healthcare law of the Obamacare. Republican has the majority. But I found out they don't have a spirit of unity. Although they have the ability to pass it, but they did not pass it. They did not pass it because they don't have enough vote, enough people. They don't have enough vote, but they have enough people. They have this unity. I want you to learn that. Even though you have majority in the House, you have majority in the Senate, and you have Republican president, theoretically, you should be able to pass it. And yet, you cannot pass it. Brother and sister, I want you to circle that word, a spirit of unity. It is very, very important. If people do things based upon his own understanding and they think they follow Jesus Christ, but they don't have the spirit of unity, they are not following Jesus Christ. Because in Gospel of John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for the people for unity. Unity among the Jews, unity among the Gentiles, and unity between Jews and Gentiles. I found out the work of Satan is to destroy the spirit of unity. But the work of God is to give a spirit of unity. Ask, because the Bible clearly stated that in verse 5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourself as you follow Christ Jesus. Ask God to give us a spirit of unity. What happened if God gave you the spirit of unity? Then how should we respond? I want you to write that down right beside 15:5. You write down Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. right beside bearing with one another in love, this is the first sign of the maturity in Christ Jesus. The strong must bear with the failing of the weak. Bearing with one another in love, verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, circle the word, the unity of the Spirit. Once you ask for a spirit of unity, once you get it, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. In here, the word Spirit is capital letter S, whereas in Book of Romans, it's a small letter F. And I think it's wrong. It's a capital letter S. Say that one more time. Chapter 4, verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Verse 4. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. That one hope, I want to circle this word, one hope. In chapter 5, verse 2, the hope of the glory of God. That hope does not disappoint you. You're going to receive the blessing. That is what we were called to, this one hope. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So there's two ways to get this attribute. First is from the scripture, and then from prayer. Prayer to God and ask God to give what you promised us. If God does not want to give us this kind of attribute, He won't write it down in the Bible. He say, when you read it yourself, you will receive it. And then once you receive it, you keep it. But if you read the scripture, you don't receive it, that means you don't understand the scripture. You say, Lord, I know that someone get it. I don't get it. Could you give it to me? Right? You ask for it. I say that one more time. In verse 4, chapter 15, the scripture will give it to you. But when you read the scripture, you meditate on it, you still don't get it, then you ask God for it. Once you get it, you keep it. Make sure you keep it. And do everything based upon the unity of the Spirit. Whenever you hear the unity of the Spirit, remember the example I talk about, the House, the Senator, and the President, supposed to pass the law, and still cannot pass it. Why? Because they do not have unity. Everybody do their own thing. I think it's happened in the church too. They thought they follow Christ. They read certain portions of the scripture, they stick to it. They thought they understood, but they don't. Okay? Remember what I just said before? So, to please others, a lot of people, politicians nowadays, they please others. But it's for his own good, not for the good of the other. It's not to build them up. Do you know, who is good in biology? Did anyone study biology? Could you raise your hand? Well, maybe I'll ask the teacher. Miriam, you don't look at other, you look at me. How many teeth do we have total? 42? 32? Are you sure about that? Now listen to me carefully. When you go home tonight, you count to see how many you have left. Secondly, first of all, you count it. And then you ask yourself, when you were young? Did your parents teach you not to tell you to brush your teeth? Did your parents teach you and not to tell you not to eat too much candy? I found out some parents, they teach the children. It's for his own good, not for the good of the children. Do you know people have gum disease? Do you know why people have gum disease? Because they don't brush their teeth correctly. And I've seen people have gum disease and end up losing all his teeth. And every teeth that you need to implant in US is $5,000. $5,000 to implant the teeth. Any engineer here? How many teeth we have? Is it 32? Times 5,000. 16 what? 160,000, isn't it? The Lord gave it to you. I want you to remember one thing. All the implantation of that teeth, when you eat, I ask them, does it taste different? He said it tastes different. The real teeth is better. Listen to me. You want to give birth to a children? If you don't teach your children to protect the teeth, I guarantee you, they're going to blame you. When they were young, they don't know that. Do not be a people pleaser, man. If you want to please people, it has to be for his own good. It has to be what? To build them up. You look at your teeth. How many teeth you have? Think about, did your parents tell you to do that? Right? I don't think so. A lot of people come to the church. They think, I attend every Sunday worship. Am I a follower of Jesus Christ? But are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Did you receive endurance, encouragement, and hope from the scripture? You said you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and God gave you the scripture. Did you receive what the scripture promised to give it to you? Now you hear that. Some I receive, some I don't. Should you ask for it? And when you ask for it, what do you ask for? You ask for endurance? Ask the Lord to give you patience, perseverance, endurance to suffer that pain? The reason why the Lord allowed this kind of pain in our life? For one reason, so that our character be developed, our life be changed. Before our life was changed, we still have that pain and suffering. It is for our own good, because He's a good God. He gives us the best. Your parents may not teach you, but the Bible teaches you. You read the scripture yourself, you learn a lot of things, you find out a lot of people, they don't even do what the scripture says. You spend quiet time with the Lord Jesus. And you find out He has a lot of good things for you. But just because you don't read the scripture, you spend a lot of time watching TV, computer games, and you just ignore the teaching from the scripture. And you don't even come to prayer meeting. You don't even come to God for prayer. You don't even know how to pray and what to pray. Brother and sister, how can we develop a good character? When we were young, we eat candy. That's who I am. Okay? Oh, every New Year, I love New Year, Chinese New Year. You know? Oh, I grab hold of all the candy and put it in my pocket. I love it so much. My parents didn't even tell me that you're not supposed to eat candy when you are at night. I eat candy. I love candy so much that I eat the candy. And next morning, I still have half candy in my mouth. You see how much I love it. You understand? Until I see a dentist, I find out I have a lot of cavities. I regret. It's all because of my ignorance. God gave you 32 pieces of teeth. He won't give you any more. You either keep it or you don't keep it. God gave a second time. When you were young, you're ignorant, they give you baby teeth. It's okay. But when you mature, the adult teeth come, you don't look after it, you lost it. Same as our life. You can waste your time and don't read the scripture. When you become old, when your family face problem, distress, and problem, and come to you, you have no comfort to your children. You don't know the Bible can give you comfort. When you hear from your prayer partner saying that, Lord, it has been 9 months already. What are you going to say to your prayer partner? I comfort him. I quoted to him chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. When I tell him that, and if nothing happens, then he won't learn it. And it happened within a week, he got a job, he learned it. He say, wow, this Bible word is powerful, and it belongs to me. Okay, now, we know how can we get it. The next question is, who should get it? Take a look in verse 2. The Bible say, each of us should please his neighbor for his good. To build him up. Each of us, circle the word us, and write down 15:1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failing of the weak and not to please ourselves. If you think you are the leader, if you think you are strong, you should please your neighbor for his own good, not for your own good, to build him up. In that process, you yourself, your life will be built up too. Why? Because Jesus Christ did the same thing in verse 3. For even Jesus Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the insult of those who insult you has fallen on me. The good thing fallen on you, the bad thing fallen on Jesus Christ. Because he is the leader. And he bears the pain and suffering, insult on himself for your behalf. Verse 4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. When we have the endurance, when we have the encouragement, when we have the spirit of unity, and when we can do things together, in verse 6. Let's see what the end result. So that with one heart and mouth, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you please others for his own good, for his own edification, to build him up, not to destroy his life, so that with one heart and mouth, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may glorify the God first. And when he becomes strong, he can glorify the Father also. You write that down. 15:6, come first. 15:9, come second. 15:9, so that the Gentile may glorify God for his mercy. You are the strong one. You ask for the unity. You ask for the spirit of unity. You got it. Your life has been changed. With one heart and with one mouth, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Gentile may glorify God for his mercy. It will come later. Take a look at the second pair of maturity in Christ Jesus. As recorded in 14:1, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matter. 14:3, for God has accepted him. If God has accepted him, we should not judge him and accept him too. 15:7, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you. I want you to write that down. When you realize Jesus Christ has already accepted you, your response to Jesus Christ is to bring praise to God. Write that down. But to accept one another just as Christ accepted you. When you realize Jesus Christ has already accepted you, in order to bring praise to God, thank you, Jesus, for accepting me. But Jesus say, I not only accept you, I accept the weak one too. Then make sure you build up the weak one. I give you an illustration. King David, he is a Jewish king. When he brings praises to God, in Romans chapter 15, verse 9, I read 7 verse. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarch so that the Gentile may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written in the latter part of verse 9, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing him to your name. What are the reasons why David praised God among the Gentiles? Because King David is a Jewish king. He found out that God has accepted him. I want you to write that down. Go back to Psalm 27. King David suffered a lot of pain, you know, ever since when he was young. But all this pain is good for his life, so that he can get blessing later on in life. Psalm chapter 27, verse 10. Psalm 27, verse 10. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. David's fathers and mother forsake David. When the prophet Solomon came to his house, David wasn't invited by his parents. But the prophet Solomon said, is this seven sons all you have? He said, I have one more. Now shepherding the sheep. Prophet Samuel said, if he didn't come, we won't have a dinner. And King David realized, although my parents forsake me, the Lord accepted me. It's very important. When you find out the Lord accept you, write that down. You glorify God. You praise God. I want you to remember, when God accepts you, make sure you accept those Jesus Christ accept. Then when they realize you are the leader, you accept them. They think, if the leader accept me, very likely God will accept me too. And eventually the Gentile will praise God, will glorify God. Take a look at that. Take a look at Psalm. What's the Psalm that King David talk about? Turn to, go back to Romans chapter 15. I read that to you first. 15:9. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. I will praise you among the Gentiles. King David is the king after God's heart. He knows God's will. He knows that God does not just love him, love King David. God loves all other people too. At what situation that King David say that? In verse 9, in Psalm 18. You please turn to Psalm 18. Psalm 18:49. Therefore, I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. Why would King David praise God among the nations? Because he wants all the Gentiles to praise God. Why would we glorify God among the non-believers? Because we want the non-believer to receive the same kind of blessing that we receive. If you are the strong one, you bear with the failing of the weak for his own good to build them up. When they are weak now, their life will be changed because your acceptance, because of your acceptance to them, build them up. Eventually, they will follow you to glorify God and to praise God. Take a look at what Paul said. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles, said David. I will sing hymn to your name among the Gentiles. So that when the Gentiles hear that, they say, why this person praise God? Because he got a lot of blessing from God. What kind of blessing did he receive? Turn back to Psalm 18. King David suffered a lot of pain. Under what situation he write the book? He write the Psalm 18. Read verse 1. For the director, chapter 18, verse 1. The Jewish Bible, verse 1, is the about the verse 1, okay? For the director of music of David, the servant of the Lord, he sang to the Lord the word of the song when the Lord delivered him from the hands of all his enemy and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. And the Lord made him king. When he realized the Lord accepted him, he honored God. Chapter 18, verse 50. The Lord gave his king great victory. He showed unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David, and his descendant forever. The reason why David praised God and write it down, so that he wants us to receive the same kind of blessing. Go back to verse 10, chapter 15 of Romans. Again, it said. Who said that? Moses said that. Moses said, rejoice, O Gentile, with God's people. Moses knew that 3,500 years ago, when Moses wrote the Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 43, Moses knew that God not only delight in his people, God also delight in the Gentiles too. That's why Moses proclaimed to the whole world, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you people. Who said that in verse 11? King David said that. First of all, in verse 9, King David said that, I will praise you among the Gentiles. And then Moses said that, rejoice, O Gentile, with God's people. Then King David said it again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you people. All you people, they are Gentile believers. And then in verse 12, and again, Isaiah, the prophet, the Jewish prophet, said, the root of Jesse will spring up. Jesus Christ will be resurrected from the dead. One who will arise to rule over the nation. The nation means the Gentile nation. All nations, not just the Jewish nation. All nations on earth. The Gentile will hope in Jesus Christ, the root of Jesse. What have we learned? I recap. In the early church, in chapter 15, Paul said, if you are the strong one, you bear with the failing of the weak. I want to give you one illustration. Next Tuesday, early in the morning, Joyce will go to Fort Hill. That means next Sunday, she will not be teaching the Sunday school on Sunday. That means she will not be able to teach the Friday night Bible study. I'm asking you, are you the strong one to bear with the feeling of the weak? Are you the one who only please yourself? Or you want to please other people for God's sake? Now the opportunity for you to pick up the plate. Say, yes, I can do it. Listen to me carefully. If you say, yes, I can do it, when you are in distress and in trouble, You cry out to God, and God says, yes, I can do it too. I say that one more time. God is speaking to you through his servant John Lamb. Are you the strong one? The Bible says each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Do you hear in this sermon that you have to do something about that? When you hear his voice, he's going to hear your prayer. Did everybody hear that loud and clear? Hello? When the strong one glorify God first, because he asked God for the unity of the Spirit. He got it, he endured, he got encouragement from the Lord, he glorified God. Just like King David glorified God, praise God, because he received the blessing. But he know that he's not the only one God delights in. A lot of other people, even the weak ones that God delights in. He won't be weak forever, as long as he turn around and repent. Saul, supposed to be the one who persecuted Jesus Christ. When God touched him, his life was changed to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He's a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before he was the enemy of Christ. When you praise God, it's good. When you glorify God, it's good too. But remember that God wants the Gentile, God wants the weak people to praise God and glorify God too. That is what the Bible says. I read that one more time, 15:6. So that with one heart and mouth, you are the strong one. You may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 9, so that the Gentile may glorify God for his mercy. You receive mercy from God, you glorify God, it's good. What about other people? Right? God wants other people to glorify God too. Now, regarding praising God, 15:7, it's good to praise God. Accept one another. Then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. You bring praise to God, it's good. What about the Gentile? David know that. That's why he's a great king. Moses know that. That's why he's a great prophet. Isaiah know that. That's why he's a great prophet too. Right? They all invite all the Gentiles to praise God too. Brother and sister, if you listen to this sermon, if you fully understand, the blessing will come. In conclusion, in verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Trust in him in what? Ask God to give you endurance, encouragement and hope from the scripture, and ask God one more thing for a spirit of unity. Not only you glorify God, I want all other people to glorify God with one mouth and with one heart, so that I build them up. I strengthen their faith. They won't be weak anymore. They can experience God too. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Right beside trust in him, How do you trust in Him? You trust in Him by bearing with the failing of the weak. You trust in Him not to please yourself, but to please others for His own good and to build Him up. How do you trust in Him? You trust in Him by accepting one another just as Christ accepted you. When you trust in Him, you get the present blessing. The God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace. I want you to write that down. All joy and peace. You write down 15:17 of Book of Romans. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Kingdom of God is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you listen to the scripture, if you understand the scripture, you meditate on it, you have insight, you put it into practice, you trust Him, you just do it, the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace, with the present blessing. You know for sure you can enter the kingdom of God. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you accept one another with the help of the Holy Spirit, when you please others with the help of the Holy Spirit, then God gonna give you the hope. What's the hope? 5:2. The hope of the glory of God. The hope of the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, make sure you receive the hope of the glory of God. And that hope does not disappoint you. That is the future blessing. When you build others up, you have present blessing and future blessing. When you try to please people to build yourself up, to be selfish, you don't even get the present blessing, because the Lord will not fill you with all joys and peace. You don't have peace because you don't trust in the Lord. Not to mention about the future hope. Forget about that, man. Because the wicked people have no hope. Only the righteous people have hope. Who are the righteous people? I hear your voice. I do it. So help me, God. Our Heavenly Father, help us to understand what is written in the scripture so that we can receive endurance, patience, perseverance, and encouragement, and hope, and the unity of the Spirit so that we can carry out your task and to finish it. Not everyone who call me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. Only those who do the will of the Father. The one who do the will of the Father is the one who receive the hope of the glory of God. Hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. And raise up the strong people to do your task. So as to bring glory to you and bring praise to you. Those who bring glory and praise to you will encourage others to do the same. When we do your work, I pray that you build our family and bless us all the days of our life. Not only now, but the life to come. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.